Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan, the John Cantara Show, and very happy to be here today. Boy, wet weather out there today, and please drive safely. I headed down to the station about 10 o'clock this morning, and boy, a lot of water on the road, so just be very, very safe. You'll get to where you need to go. Just slow down a little bit today. I don't want to lose any of my listeners out there to a fender bender, so hang in there, and I think it's going to subside sometime maybe late this afternoon, but again, be careful and make sure you buckle up. We got a great show planned today. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Mr. Peter Seidler, the general partner of the San Diego Padres and lead investor, will join me from 1 until 2 o'clock today on the program. We'll talk about why did he want to buy the Padres? I mean, that's the first thing I would want to know. I mean, he grew up Peter Seidler, but his family were the O'Malleys. And, you know, I'm kind of anxious to find out, how did he get involved with Ron Fowler? I mean, there's some questions I want to ask, and hopefully he can give us all those good answers. We'll get into talking about the ball club. I also want to ask him a little bit why they felt it was time for a change for manager Andy Green. And, you know, when A.J. Preller came to him, and Ron Fowler said, hey, I want to hire a guy named Jace Tingler. I want to find out how that went. So we're going to ask some of those questions today. And we've had some baseball movement today. But again, Peter Seidler going to join us in the 1 to 2 o'clock time slot today. Braden, welcome today, my friend. How you doing?
Feeling a little bit better than yesterday. So hopefully I don't need the cough drops throughout the entire show.
Hey, you get a little rest last night?
Yeah, slept a little bit. Got a little rest to watch that Rockets-Spurs ending yesterday as well while we decorated one of our Christmas trees. So it was a fun night, and hopefully we're gonna do the same thing, I think, tonight, stay out of the rain. It was super flooded, more than usual. You know, I was driving around. I don't have a truck anymore. When I had a truck, I used to hydroplane all the time.
Right.
Like a lifted truck on big tires with nothing in the back, so it was super light. There's a couple times I would hydroplane when I was in high school and college and what have you. Now I don't have a truck, and I still was able to deal with a lot of water today, especially on Pomerado Road. Wow, they had tons of water. Uncharacteristic. A lot of rain falling over the last couple weeks or so.
A lot of rain in a very short period of time. I know last week the 2 days that it rained really hard on Wednesday and on Thanksgiving, it just flat out poured. They said we had 2.72 inches of rain here in San Diego, and that was ahead of where we need to be. And today, in a short period of time, it's rained quite a bit. Hey, want to get the phone calls in the first hour? Pretty much wide open the first hour of the program. Our number 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Again, Peter Seidler going to join us at 1 o'clock. He'll be with us till 2 o'clock. And then at 2:35 today, Kevin Lytle from the Colorado one, who covers football and basketball for Colorado State, he's going to come on and talk a little bit about the Colorado State Rams and their program. They're 6-3. They're hosting the Aztecs tonight in Game 1 of the Mountain West Conference regular season. And, Braden, you know, I was looking at some numbers today. You know, the Aztecs have actually lost their last three Mountain West Conference openers. And, you know, everybody can look at Colorado State and go, ha-ha, you know, they're going to go into Moby Arena tonight, run them out there by 20. I hope they do. But they've got a guy by the name of Nico Carvacho, who led the nation in rebounding last year. He's a really good player, 6'11", about 245 pounds. Again, they're 6-3 right now. They're kind of trying to rebuild that program under head coach Nico Medved. But this is a game on the road. The Aztecs need to take care of business tonight, and I think send a statement to the rest of the Mountain West Conference in this opener.
Yeah, they got to take care of business on the road. It's going to be tough. High altitude, of course, and, you know, it's a place that they've struggled in the past. So, Yeah, can't take any of the Mountain West schools lightly, especially in this conference, because of you know, the one of them might be able to sneak up and get you. Colorado State comes in at 6-3. They haven't beaten that many graded teams, but they did play Duke earlier this year. They'd lose that game by like 34 points. But anyway, this is a game the Aztecs need to win, especially after the high of being 8-0, on the cusp of being ranked. They just got to keep taking care of business as they go through Mountain West play.
Baseball-wise, we've had two signings this morning. One by the Atlanta Braves. They signed Cole Hamels to a one-year deal for $18 million. And when I heard this coming to work, I'm going, you know what? That's great. Good for Cole Hamels. Good for John Boggs, his agent, who I used to work for, working as an agent with him. So good for Cole. I'm glad he gets a nice one-year, $18 million deal. And I was saying, will that make it a little bit easier for the Padres maybe to go after a guy like Madison Bumgarner? But you know what? I don't think it will, because I think the Atlanta Braves are on a mission right now, and I think they're going to really throw a lot of money at Bumgarner, even though his numbers, when you look at some of his numbers, you know, deeper into the numbers, his numbers have declined each of the last 4 years.
They got a young core. They got a lot of guys that are coming back, obviously. You know, they got to try to build. They're building around Freddie Freeman and, of course, they're Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr. So they needed some starting pitching, and they're going after it. They signed Cole Hamels a one-year deal. I wouldn't be surprised if they go get Mad Bum as well. Philly's going out there spending a lot of money on Zach Wheeler.
Well, we're
going
to get to Wheeler here in a second.
Yeah, but I even got an update from Ken Rosenthal. The Phillies didn't even offer him the most amount of money. The White Sox apparently offered him the most money, but Wheeler wanted to stay close to home. It's one of his wife's requirements for his contracts that he was going through this offseason.
Well, he's going to have to settle for a five-year with the Phillies for $118 million. Now, Zach Wheeler, for me, is probably a little bit better than the average major league starter. And, you know, he's not a Strasburg. He's not a Gerrit Cole. He's not a Verlander. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, had some injuries in his career. He's been, you know, pretty good at times, but not great. He's not a guy that's going to the All-Star game perennial. I mean, you look at his numbers last year with the New York Mets. He made 31 starts. He had a whip of 1.26, an ERA of 3.96. His record, and I know record, you look at that and take it with a grain of salt, he was 11-8. You know, some of his numbers are pretty good. I mean, career-wise, he's got a 3.77 ERA and a 1.29 ERA. No way, shape, or form does 5 years, 118 match up to what his career lifetime numbers are. But once again, the Phillies going out and spending a ton of money. And like they said last year, they were going to spend stupid money. They did on Bryce Harper. They brought in Real Muto. You know, Real Muto had a nice year. Harper had a nice year, but they didn't go anywhere. And now they bring in Zach Wheeler. They're going to probably try to go and sign another pitcher, I would think. But $118 million. 5 years for Zach Wheeler. That is sickening.
That's a lot of money. I don't understand why they're spending that type of money on Zach Wheeler. We were talking about it off air. Yeah, I'd love to have Zach Wheeler. I don't want to pay $118 million for him. And the fact that the White Sox offered even more money, Ken Rosenthal reported, they offered more money. You know, they allegedly offered more money to Manny Machado, and they've allegedly offered a lot of money to a lot of guys, and nobody ends up signing with the Chicago White Sox. What's going on with the White Sox right now? They can't get anybody to sign with
them. Well, they signed Yasmani Grandal last week to a four-year deal.
They did, but I'm just saying, they've been in on a lot of top guys over the last handful
of years.
And they re-signed
their big first baseman designated hitter, Jose Abreu, for $50 million.
But they got all this money to spend, and one of the guys walking around here in the station's like, I always see them throwing around a lot of money, but every time I watch their game on TV, it looks like they have 15 people at the game. Where are they getting all this money from?
Well, let me ask you this. If you had an opportunity to sign with the White Sox or sign with the Chicago Cubs or the New York Mets, you wouldn't sign with the White Sox, would you?
No, I would never sign with the White Sox unless they offered me the absolute most money. But if it's close to what the Cubs are offering or the Mets or the Yankees or pretty much anybody else, I'd probably sign with the team that I wanted to rather play with than the Chicago White Sox at this point. But $118 million for Zach Wheeler. Again, his wife said his wife is from New Jersey and that the proximity was an important consideration in his decision.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's great. He took less money.
At the
money.
End of the day, it's life decisions, too, because these guys are people, too, and they got to worry about their families and moving all over
the place.
And
now the Players Association is probably going to get on him and his agent for not taking the biggest contract.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, you know what? You got to find the right fit for you, not necessarily the biggest contract, and that's what Zach Wheeler did. I'm surprised the Phillies offered that much money for Zach Wheeler, and I'm just glad we're not talking about other teams potentially, like San Diego Padres giving him that much money, because I think that would have been a hard pill to swallow for a lot of Padres fans.
You know, we have Peter Seidler coming in here at 1 o'clock, and, you know, I'm not going to – I can't ask him, you know, how much money do you guys have to spend this offseason? You know, that's none of my business, none of anybody's business.
No.
Well, he could say no, but I'm not even going to ask that. That's a dumb question to ask him. You know, I'm just going to ask him, are you guys still trying to be active in free agency, or do you want to upgrade this ball club primarily through trades? I think that's a very fair question.
Very fair. As of right now, it looks like it's going to be a lot of trades, as we've seen over the last
and I'm fine with that. You know what? I'm fine with that because, you know what? You're going to probably be able to save a lot of money to where when you get close, then you go get that big dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get a little bit closer than the Padres are right now. I mean, you can't be a last-place ball club and all of a sudden go to the front of the pack. I mean, the guys up north here are still trying to sign Anthony Rendon. They're talking to Cole. They're talking to Strasburg.
They were talking about trading for Francisco Lindor.
Well, they still are.
I mean, could you imagine if they got Lindor and Rendon in that lineup?
That'd be ridiculous.
That'd be unreal.
I mean, the Dodgers are so frustrated right now.
I did see a rumor.
They want to do anything possible to win the World Series next year.
Well, they should. I mean, they haven't been able to win the last, what, 3 years? They got the best team
money
can
buy. Well, they haven't
been
able to win a World Series since 1988.
They've had the best team money could buy over the last handful of years, and they still can't win a World Series, which, as a Padres fan, that's got to be good to see that the guys up north can't get it done. That's always fun, but I saw a rumor that the White Sox might be kicking the tires on a potential trade with Jock Peterson to get Jock Peterson over the White Sox.
See, Jock Peterson, we talked about him yesterday. He'd be a good fit here in San Diego.
Oh, I'd love to see
Guy
Jock
hits
Peterson
bombs. Here. He gets on base. He can play an outfield spot for you.
Left-handed
I mean, he's
going
to strike out a little bit, and he's going to hit in the 235 to 245 range, but he's also going to hit 25 to 30 bombs.
I'd like to have Jock Peterson, but it looks like the Dodgers are actively shopping some of the talent that they have to try to make their team better. And I saw on the MLB Network driving in today that the Cubs are in frantic means of manic. I heard the term manic in terms of trying to trade some of the guys that they have that currently on their roster. So who knows what the Cubs have available.
Let's
as well.
Do a blockbuster to get Chris Bryant and Javier Baez.
That's going to cost a lot.
Huh?
That'd be amazing if Javi Baez showed up.
Hey, you know what?
Diego.
If you're going to be a player, you might as well be a player, right? Go get those guys.
Javi Baez and Chris Bryant, where are they going to play? Javi's going to play what, second?
He'll play wherever he wants to play. No, he'd probably play second base. And Jerks and Profar would end up being the utility guy. And Greg Garcia might be coaching first base.
He'll be the 26th man while Ian Kinsler coaches first base.
Yeah, Ian Kinsler. We need to get Ian one more hit. He needs one more hit for 2,000.
That's why, you know what? He might be in the opening day lineup.
Opening day lineup, he gets that one hit, and he doffs his cap to the crowd and runs into the dugout for the final time as a San Diego Padre.
And then comes back out the next inning as the first base coach.
Can you see him? Yeah, exactly. Can you see him making the ball club?
Not really.
I mean, they're going to owe him $4 million.
They're probably going to try to work that into an analyst role, potentially.
Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You know, we threw this out there yesterday, Braden. Where the Padres go from here? They've got a second baseman who I think is going to be okay. I have no problem with Jurickson Profar. I really like the trade with Milwaukee, getting Zach Davies for the rotation and Trent Grisham to play the outfield, probably play center field. Where do you go from here? You got to work on catcher, and you got to continue to build the pitching staff. I'd like to hear from the fans on that. When we come back, we're just getting warmed up. Going to be a fun Wednesday with the John Quintero Show. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to San Diego Sports, number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ah, 12:22. Hope you're off to a good start today and enjoying your lunch hour. Thank you so much for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan. We got Peter Seidler coming up, the owner of the Padres, the financial wizard. He's going to be joining us. We're going to talk a lot of things with Peter Seidler. Why did he want to buy a ball club? where does he think this franchise is right now? We got a lot of questions to ask Peter Seidler coming up at 1 o'clock. He'll be in the studio for 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and then we're going to give you a little breakdown of the Aztec basketball game tonight, a little preview against Colorado State.
Speaking of Aztecs, their football team has announced the All-Mountain West first and second team. The Aztecs had 5 guys on the first team and 4 on the second team.
Would you like to go ahead and announce those players?
Yeah, let's see if I can get – hopefully I can get their names all right. Defensively, they had 4 guys on their All Mountain West first team. Kaiba Tizino, who will be on the Gwynn and Chris show later on today, he was a first team All Mountain West. Cameron Thomas, the defensive tackle. Miles Cheatham, the defensive end. And cornerback Luke Barco, the Castle Park kid. Second team, you had the warrior position, Tariq Thompson. You had tight end Parker Houston. You had Deshaun Dixon, the left guard, and defensive end Keyshawn Banks. Honorable mentioned were Matt Ariza from Rancho Bernardo, William Dunkel, Darren Hall, Brandon Hecklin, and Dwayne Johnson Jr. Those are the honorable mention of the All-Mountain West team after a nice football season for the Aztecs.
Well, the two guys we've had on during the Aztec football season, Tariq Thompson and Parker Houston, both make second-team All-Mountain West Conference. Parker, a senior, Tariq, a junior. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to all the Aztec players. That's really cool. And, you know, that defensive unit, they deserved it. They had a hell of a year. There's no question about that. You know, hopefully they get to a bowl game and can win a bowl game. You know what? Go to our poll from yesterday. We had a poll up yesterday. If you missed the show that we put up, how did you look at the Aztec season? Great, good, or disappointing? I went with good. Braden went with disappointing. What was the final total on our poll yesterday, percentage wise?
I think it was 24% disappointing. I need to look it up real quick. What else we had here? The majority of it said good. It was like 54%.
54% had good.
And then 24% had disappointing. And then it was only, I think, 19% had great. I need to find the actual numbers.
Only way it can be great is if you win a conference title.
I agree. 19% great, good was 57%, 24% disappointing.
Okay. Well, I was in the middle there. I said they had a good season. You can't be great unless you bring home the banner. That's the way I look at it. And, again, we talked a lot yesterday, Braden, about the bowl, and we're going to find out on Sunday. Not only are we going to find out about where the Aztecs go, we're going to find out where everybody's going, including the Holiday Bowl. And next Monday when we're at the winter meetings down at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, at 1:35, we're going to have Mark Neville, the CEO of the Holiday Bowl, on, and he'll talk about the matchups. And, again, I'm holding out for Michigan and USC. But if Utah wins, looks like USC won't be coming here.
But if Utah wins, that means San Diego State will probably go to the Cheez-It Bowl and play a Big 12 team.
I hope they play Texas.
I don't think they're going to play Texas. I doubt the Texas Bowl packs. Well, here's the deal. The Texas Bowl, I know, wants Texas in it and against A&M, but I don't think they'll both sign that contract. San Diego State, you're talking about their defense, by the way. They were ranked 20th best defense in the country.
That's great.
According to the FPI, their special teams unit was 7th best in the country.
Wow. That's a big improvement, because a year ago, their special teams, after losing Rashad Penny, they were not great.
I won't tell you their offense, or do you want to know their offense?
Yeah. Where was their offense ranked?
113 out of 120.
113 out of 120? You know what that tells me? There are going to have to be some changes made. And I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about philosophy of running the offense. And they've got to recruit a better list of skill guys.
Well, their overall FPI, for what it's worth, was 70. So if they did like computer rankings for your ranking, they would be the 70th best team in the country. It's not very good.
Not when you're playing the Mountain West Conference, right?
Correct. That also didn't hurt. That also hurt them a lot. We were talking about the other day what their best win was. According to the FPI, you know what their best win was?
I would say their best win was probably over UCLA.
No, it's BYU. BYU was their best win.
BYU, and BYU put up 3 points against them.
Yep, they won 13-3. That was their best win of the year.
And BYU beat USC. They finished 8-4 and 7-2 in conference.
And they finished ranked somehow.
That's amazing.
I don't understand how USC.
That's ranked. Amazing. Yeah, I want to talk about something real positive. And that was the Laker game last night. Oh, man, it was great. A 6 o'clock tip-off there at the Pepsi Center in Denver. Lakers came out. They outscored them in 3 of the 4 quarters last night. They won the ball game 105-96. They led 60-49 at halftime. Anthony Davis, what a performance last night. He was under the weather. He got an IV at halftime and put up 25 points on 9 of 18 shooting. He had 10 rebounds. LeBron James, 37 minutes, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. And how about Dwight Howard? Remember how Dwight Howard a few years ago pretty much got ran out of L.A. because he didn't want to play there? He's come back. He's become a fan favorite. He played 19 minutes last night. 13 points on 5 of 8 shooting, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, and Rajon Rondo, who I thought was over the hill about 3 years ago, playing great, 11 points last night, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and the Lakers improved to 18-3. They'll be in Utah tonight to take on the Jazz. So the Lakers right now just getting it done in a big way at 18-3. How about that?
Wow, I'm so excited for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Why don't you like the Lakers?
I don't care about Los Angeles teams.
Okay. Well, I grew up not having an NBA team. Well, we had the Rockets for a short period of time. But
I grew up without having an NBA team either. That's why I just don't watch the NBA. Although, I think you'd be proud. I did watch the Rockets-Spurs game last night. It reminded me of college because all my roommates were Spurs fans. So I'm used to watching the Spurs a lot and maybe the Dallas Mavericks. But I did watch that that crazy play in which Harden dunked it and it didn't count, which didn't make any sense.
Hey, can you see yourself moving back to Texas at some point?
Absolutely. It's so much cheaper to live there.
Huh?
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, you talk about it like religiously.
Well, when I was out in Texas, everybody hated me because I talked about San Diego so much. See, you have different perspectives at different places. People out there think all I do is talk about San Diego, and people out in San Diego think all I do is talk about Texas.
Well, if you want to go back to Texas, I know people in Texas. If you want to go back there, you know, I could probably
I could help you join the Purple Mafia. That's what they're called. In the sports broadcasting world out there in Texas is being overrun by all the TCU Horned Frogs. They called it the Purple Mafia because a long time it's been North Texas has dominated the sports broadcasting world, and now it's all the TCU sports broadcasting alum.
Hey, what bowl game is TCU going to this
not
year?
Going to one. They
not
suck.
Going to one, huh?
They were horrible.
So they're on the recruiting trail.
They are. Gary Patterson's trying to load his team up, try to get ready for a season like 2014 again.
You know, this morning I was getting ready, and, you know, it's raining, and I don't know why I thought about this. I guess because in the next segment we're going to be talking about the college football poll from last night.
Which gives me PTSD.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. But, you know, I'm thinking as I'm getting dressed and heading down here today, what is Nick Saban doing today? He's going to have one more game. It's going to be a bowl game. You know Nick Saban right now is working his you-know-what off in recruiting.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when he loses, it even motivates him even more than normal.
This is the first year that they're not in the playoff, right? I mean, I don't see them going in.
Right.
They dropped them all the way to 12, which
and,
I thought was
ridiculous. And, you know, that's bogus.
I can't believe they dropped them.
That's bogus.
You're telling me if Wisconsin played Alabama, Wisconsin would win that game? Get out of here. I think I saw a couple tweets about what Vegas would say, and I think Alabama, like the three teams in front of them, well, Alabama would be 14-point favorites if they played him in a game.
You know, Alabama is not great this year on defense. They've lost a lot of guys to injury. They lost two of their best linebackers before the season ever started. And their defense has given up quite a bit. But you know what? They're still one of the probably six best teams in America.
Well, let's think about this for a second. The bowl matchups right now, projected ones, are Alabama going to the Cotton Bowl to play the Group of Five winner. Might be Memphis. You're Alabama, and now you're playing Memphis in the Cotton Bowl, which, by the way, they're going to run through that team like they're not even there.
If they want to play. If they want to be motivated.
You know Saban's going to have his guys ready
absolutely.
To go.
Absolutely.
But think about this for a second. We talked about San Diego State potentially being a group of or in a power in a New Year's Six Bowl. Could you imagine if they had to play Alabama in the Cotton Bowl? Would you be excited to be in that game all of a sudden?
I'd be really excited as a fan to watch that game.
I want to see how their defense does. Other than that.
That would be a game worth going to. That would be a game worth going to for you and I.
Oh, that'd be amazing. The other problem, would be I would be excited to see how San Diego State's defense stacks up against Alabama's offense, but I would probably close my eyes every time San Diego State's offense took the field against Alabama's defense.
Maybe they'd have a surprise for him. Maybe they'd come out in the wing tee or something.
Oh, my God. I watch the wing tee enough during the football season. I don't need to watch the Aztecs run the wing tee.
Don't even get me started on the wing tee. My alma mater continues to run that, and I think they need to go a different direction.
Some teams are successful at it.
We're past the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to get into the college football playoff rankings. We're going until 3 o'clock again, the 1 to 2 o'clock hour. General partner. Lead investor of the Padres, Peter Seidler, going to join me in studio. Thanks for tuning in daily to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12:37, Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock. It'll be Gwen and Chris today. We got a lot to get done. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour for a full hour, nice enough to join us today, it'll be Peter Seidler, general partner of the Padres and lead investor. Very excited about seeing Peter. He's a great guy, by the way. I've gotten to know him over the last 5-plus years here in San Diego. I don't see him a lot. We text here and there on different things, but just a marvelous man and a man that has done so much. Really, in the short time, he and his wife have done an incredible job in the community here in San Diego. We're going to talk about that because, you know, he's not a guy that's going to sing his praises, but I'll sing his praises because I really admire the man a great deal. He's come to San Diego. He's become a San Diegan. Him and his wife have two young children. They're marvelous people. And not only is he, you know, involved, obviously, as the owner of the Padres, but he's gone out and done a lot of great things in this town with juvenile diabetes and feeding the homeless. And I was telling you yesterday, you know, a lot of times he'll send me a text message. I'll send one to him early in the day about something. And I know he'll always get back to me. That's the other thing. This guy takes care of business. And he works his primary job. He's a financial man. And we're going to talk about that today. But he'll text me at like 2:30 in the morning. And I'll wake up and I'll have a message from the owner of the Padres, which is kind of cool, to be honest with you. But he walks the streets and talks to the homeless folks. And he's done, he and his group, and we're going to talk about that, all the stuff that he and his group have done for the homeless people here in San Diego. Really pretty amazing. Hey, by the way, you want to look good for the holiday season? With Supercuts and keep looking sharp all year long, go to 973thefansd.com and you can sign up right now to Winner's Worth of Supercuts, courtesy of 97.3 The Fan and Supercuts here in San Diego. We've got Coach's Corner coming up in about 10 minutes. Braden, I want to get to the college football rankings here for a minute, but you were reading something to me during the break about someone had spent their time and energy and put together some interesting things on the Charger franchise dating back to 2006.
Yeah, it comes from theringer.com, and they came up, Danny Heifetz came up with the tragedy, comedy, and many, many shanked kicks, a complete history of the Chargers' failures, revisiting the worst losses in Chargers' history dating back to 2006. It's quite comical going through these, and painful for a lot of San Diego Charger fans. You know, as I remember some of these games and some of these infamous games, of course, the Marlon McCree game they talk about the Chargers blowing a 24-0 lead to the Broncos at halftime on Monday Night Football. They talk about Phillip Rivers fumbling while taking a kneel down on Halloween against the Kansas City Chiefs, the Nate Kading missed field goal. It's all broken down in eras. They had the North Turner era with the Ed Hockley call up there in Denver. They had the you know, the Mike McCoy era. They now have the Anthony Lynn era with Young Hoku and all his missed field goals. And it's really quite remarkable, some of these games that are on this list. And a lot of them are funny now because I'm no longer a Charger fan, and a lot of them painful from my my childhood watching these guys blow games late in the games here.
All right, let's get to the college football rankings. And that came down again last night. We had number one, Ohio State, number two, LSU, number three, Clemson. Georgia checking in at number four. You got Utah at number five, Oklahoma number six, Baylor number seven, Wisconsin eight, Florida nine, Penn State 10. And you got, as we mentioned in the last segment, you got Alabama at number 12. That's an absolute joke. But let's start with the top four. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia. If Georgia wins, they're in. If Georgia loses, they're out. If Utah beats Oregon, they're in. I don't think Oklahoma can jump over Utah, can they?
I think they can, to be honest with you, because of their resume. And it wouldn't surprise me if they do, just because of their brand name school. Oklahoma. Did you see Paul Feinbaum today on the morning show on ESPN?
No, I miss Feinbaum. I love Feinbaum, by the way.
He went out and said, they asked him about Utah, and they said, he's like, I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody in America wants Utah into the top four because you know what? It's Utah. I mean, give me a break. It's Utah. Oklahoma's going to jump them. Oklahoma's a better pick, and Oklahoma's way better than Utah is, essentially, is you know, what he was getting to. But I thought it was very
bold statement.
I don't
disagree with that, do you?
I don't know. I think you might have to look at the blind resume we got coming up on in just a little bit. You could tell me who you think deserves to be in the final
spot.
No,
but at the end of the day, let's face it. I mean, the college football playoffs are taking a big hit with Nick Saban and Alabama not being in it, okay? I mean, I don't know if Georgia is going to float anyone's boat. Ohio State, because they're Ohio State, yeah, people will be fired up about that. LSU, you know, Ed Orgeron, you know, he's got his little things at his press conference, but nobody really cares about LSU, I don't think. Clemson's been there. Everybody knows about Dabo Swinney, and they know Clemson's got a quality program. But Utah, I mean, we know about Utah because we know Kyle Whittingham's done a great job up there for many, many years. They deserve it if they win this week. But Oklahoma's got more cachet than Utah. The public would much rather see Oklahoma.
The public would rather much see Oklahoma. Then what kind of championship are we playing for? Is this for the best team in the country, or is this for the most popular team?
Well, you know what? I think we're going to find out after this weekend. If Utah wins and Oklahoma wins and they let and Georgia gets beat and they have Oklahoma jump Utah after Utah was number 5 and Oklahoma was number 6, then that's going to pretty much give you the answer that you're looking for.
My thing is why isn't LSU number 1?
Well, that's a very good point.
If you look at the resume and the teams that they've beaten, it's way better than any team Ohio State has beat. I know Ohio State looks
maybe
good.
It's the eyeball test.
The eyeball test. That is the biggest cop-out for anybody on the committee to have their own agenda of who they want in the playoffs.
You don't think there's an agenda?
Oh, there always is an agenda. You're talking to a guy who dropped his team got dropped from 3-6 on the final week after beating the team by 50 points. I'm just saying, there is an agenda. It's not the national championship.
I mean, you're going to carry that grudge the rest of your life?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's the best chance to win a national title, even though we have 2 national titles, by the way. But Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, the top 4. My thing is with Utah, I don't see Baylor getting in if they beat Oklahoma, to be honest with you, because of...
I'm not a big believer in Baylor. I got to be honest with you.
I don't think they're that great, to be honest, either.
Their schedule's been not all that great.
No, horrible. They beat Rice by 6 points. That's not a factor in this thing. I didn't know.
You don't like the
one.
Owls? You're dogging the Owls?
The Owls are 2-2.
They got a really good GPA on their team, though.
They won 2 games, and one of them was against one win UTEP. Come on, it's a Rice Owls. They haven't been good in forever.
That's true.
They got Anthony Rendon, though. That's a positive for
Anthony
for
Rendon's a pretty good ball player.
He is a great baseball player. I want to know about this blind resume I got in front of you. I know these teams. I didn't tell you these teams, so I want to know who you would pick to be the final 4 spot. Team A comes in. They're 11-1. Their strength of record is 12 in the country. It's essentially how well they did against their schedule. You want that to be a low number. FPI rank 11. Their top wins are against the 18th, 26th, and 44th team in the country. Their only loss is to number 22. Team B, 11-1, strength of record 3, FPI rank 5, top wins are against number 6, 7, and 14. Their losses to number 39. And Team C, 11-1, strength of record is 7, FPI rank 8, top wins 15, 23, 27, and a loss of 29. Those are your 3 teams. What team do you like as the final 4 spot?
I think I'd have to probably take Team B, and I have no idea who it is. I just know they got top wins against 6, 7, and 14, and their FBI is 5, and right now they got 11-1 record.
Who would be your next 2 teams?
I got to check my sheet here. Okay, it's all on the one. My next team would probably be Team C.
All right.
Who had top wins against 15, 23, and 27.
And then their losses to number 29.
Number 29.
And then Team A would be your final team.
Right.
So right now you would have Georgia in. That is Team B. Team B is Georgia, 11-1. Their strength of record's 3. Their FPI rank is 5. They got wins against number 6, 7, and 14. And their only loss is to number 39, which is the worst loss out of the bunch of those 3 teams. Team C is Oklahoma. You'd have Oklahoma in next. They would come in at number 5 for you, 11-1. Strength of record 7. FPI rank 8. Wins against number 15, 23, and 27 with their lone loss to number 29. And Team A is Utah, 11-1. Strength of record 12. Top wins over 18, 26, 44, and a loss.
So basically right there, I had no idea what all this meant. You just gave it to me, and it's on a blank sheet of paper, and you had all these numbers down.
Mm-hmm.
I just put Oklahoma over Utah.
You did. So you put Oklahoma over Utah. So now,
and
Oklahoma,
I had no idea that I was doing that.
No, and I did not explain to Coach ahead of time what that was. So that's
in fact,
the
first time I looked at it is right when you said there's a blank a blind resume in front of me. I looked down and go, oh, my goodness gracious, what am I going to do here?
So now, I mean, but that's the going into this week. So if Georgia loses, I think they're out. Because what if...
Yeah, it'd be 2 loss team.
The 2 loss team, but they'd still have a lot of good wins. They'd be 2 losses without a conference championship. And we know how important that is for the committee. sometimes. And then you have Team A and Team C. If they both had the same record in conference championship, you picked Oklahoma to be in it.
If you're the SEC, you're hoping Georgia beats LSU because you're going to get two teams.
You're going to get two teams in. Absolutely.
I mean, there's no way LSU gets bounced out of this, I don't think.
All they'll do is they'll rearrange it, and they'll have Ohio State 1, they'll have Clemson 2, they'll have Georgia 3, and they'll have LSU 4.
And guess what?
And this is what our program director, Adam Klug, brought up. You'd have Justin Fields going against his former team.
That is correct.
And that's a TV-watched thing.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be good for the networks that are all fired up about
that. You know what? If Georgia wins, people are going to squeal. They're going to squeal because, once again, you're going to have two SEC teams in the four-team playoff.
And not Alabama. That's going to be wild.
Not Alabama.
Not Alabama. That's going to be the most wild thing when Alabama plays Memphis and that game's over by halftime.
Hey, reminder, coming up here after the top of the hour, general partner of the San Diego Padres and the lead investor, Peter Seidler, going to join us in studio from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Let's get right now, Braden, to today's Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Penske Ford in La Mesa.
Down the biggest stories in the world of sports
right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan. Number one.
All right, let's get things started. Deep in the heart of Texas, the dimensions at new Texas Rangers ballpark will be similar to their old stadium with the slightly altered distances designed to honor the team's retired jersey numbers. Left field pole will be 329. From home plate, a nod to former third baseman Adrian Beltre's 29 jersey. 407 feet to straightaway center, honoring Hall of Fame catcher Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. And 410 at the deepest points to recognize Michael Young, number 10. They got some other dimensions that have significant meaning to the Texas Rangers. What do you think about the Rangers honoring their retired jerseys with the dimensions of their new ballpark?
I think it's really cool, and I think the guys that they're honoring are great guys. And Johnny Yotes was his manager down there for a long period of time, a great baseball man. Michael Young was another one I heard they're going to honor. That's pretty cool, I think.
Number two.
From one new ballpark to potentially another new ballpark, you could cut the rumors out that the Los Angeles Angels are moving to Long Beach because they just signed a contract with the city of Anaheim, reached an agreement on a new deal that keeps the team in town through the year 2050. Angels will buy the stadium that they're currently in, Angels Stadium, and surrounding parking lots for $325 million. They're looking to either renovate or build a new stadium there. They haven't decided what they're going to do yet. They are in. They have signed their contract with their construction company, and they're going to plan out what they're going to do. They haven't decided in terms of what they're going to do developing the parking lot or if it's going to be a new stadium or a renovated stadium. They're going to have all the options, and they're going to start building in 2025. Some new arrangement up there in Anaheim. First of all, do you like the fact that the Angels are staying in Anaheim? And second of all, are you excited that they potentially might get a new stadium, especially since it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything up in Orange County?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. You know, before the Padres became a Major League ball club, Dad used to take me up to the ball games all the time as a youngster. In fact, the first Major League game I ever saw was at old Angel Stadium. I'm glad they're able to get that done. It's normally a great experience up there. Anaheim's a good town, you know, with Disneyland and all that good stuff. But now the Angels belong right there. I just wish, to be honest with you, they'd go back to being the old California Angels.
I agree. I think they'd get a lot more fans that way. A lot more fans of being the Los Angeles Angels. In fact, I would buy a ton of California Angels gear and rep that as my, quote, American League team.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. And when they play the Padres, I'd still be a Padres fan.
Number three.
Speaking of Major League Baseball, Zach Wheeler joins the Phillies on a 5-year deal worth $118 million. We talked about this a little bit earlier on the show. It's a big move for the Philadelphia Phillies. It sounds like they're not out on anybody else. They were going to add another starting pitcher if possible. They were deep into conversation with Cole Hamels before the Braves swooped in and snagged him. What do you think the Phillies are going to do even more this offseason? And do you think signing Zach Wheeler, that contract's going to put him over the top and put him in the playoffs this year?
I don't know if it'll put him in the playoffs. I think they badly overpaid for Zach Wheeler, even though we heard the White Sox were willing to pay more. He getting a 5-year, $118 million deal just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Phillies are going to be good. I think, you know, Joe Girardi is going to bring a toughness and an edge to that ball club. If Strasburg goes back to Washington, Rendon goes back to Washington, they've got a lot of good core players there with the Washington Nationals. They may make another run next year. So it's not going to be easy pickings, I think, for the Phillies in that division for a few years.
Number four.
Speaking of pitcher signing, I just mentioned it in that last article, but Cole Hamels has reached a one-year, $18 million deal with the Braves. The Phillies were in on trying to get Cole Hamels as well. He's going to be a Brave for 1 year, $18 million. Here, Cole Hamels, why do you sign a one-year deal with the Braves instead of maybe a multi-year deal if you're 36-year-old Cole Hamels? And with him off the board and Zach Wheeler, how many more options are left for the San Diego Padres in terms of helping out their starting rotation?
Madison Bumgarner. That'd be a free agent guy you want to maybe talk to. If not, you got to do it through the trades and move some of your good young prospects. But going back to Hamels, the reason he signed a one-year deal, maybe there was nobody willing to give a 36-year-old pitcher a multi-year deal. 1 year, $18 million, that's not a bad day at the office.
Number five.
We have Eli Manning back in the news. He might be playing on Sunday. In fact, it's most likely that he's going to be playing and starting on Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. Daniel Jones is dealing with a moderate high ankle sprain, Coach Pat Shurmur said on Wednesday. And Eli Manning, like I said, quote, very likely to start Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. So he will not be benched for the final 14 games of the season of the Giants season. We'll see Eli Manning once again. What do you think about Eli Manning starting on Monday Night Football against the Eagles? Are you excited for Monday Night Football between the Giants and the Eagles, by the way?
You know what? This probably makes me a little bit more interested in watching the game. You know, kind of a swan song, a nice thank you to the Giants for all his years of leading them to two Super Bowls, but probably not going to matter. I just don't know what's going on with the Eagles right now. I mean, that division in itself is just atrocious. I mean, you got the Cowboys right now at 500. Right now, if we were ending the day, they'd be the division champ. They're just a bad division. But no, I'll look forward to watching Eli, see if he can get anything done.
And this one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
You know, we got, and I want to remind everyone, our Coach's Corner each and every day brought to you by Penske Ford and LeMay. So we got Peter Seidler coming up here at 1 o'clock. He'll join us from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, obviously, the ball club, but we're also going to talk about why would he want to get involved in the baseball business, even though he kind of grew up around the Dodgers, to say the least, a member of the O'Malley family. We'll look forward to visiting with that. And I also want to get into all the community service work he and his wife have done here in the five-plus years they've lived here in San Diego. Braden, who knows, before we get off the air today at 3 o'clock, there may be more deals made. Boy, these two deals this morning with Hamels and then Zach Wheeler happened very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. It almost sounded like the Phillies missed out on Cole Hamels. Like, all right, we got to lock Zach Wheeler in here right now.
Well, remember, Cole Hamels won a World Series with the Phillies and was the most valuable player in that World Series, and they wanted to bring him back. But you know what? I think going to the Braves is going to be a much better place for him to pitch. I mean, not that that's an easy ballpark to hit home runs in. You know, it's a fair ballpark, but that ballpark in Philadelphia is just an absolute bandbox.
Yeah, and it looks just like Coors Field. Just let the Rockies know about that in their newspaper. Remember that last year? Rockies posted the, what is it, the whatever the newspaper, the Denver Morning News or whatever the newspaper, Denver Post or something like that. They posted a opening day article about Coors Field, and they had a picture of Citizens Bank Park instead.
Well, you know what? Coors Field over the last few years is not the place that I look at. I mean, you look at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati.
Bandbox.
You look at Chase Field in Arizona because of the hard infield and the way the ball flies over there. That's very comparable, I think, to Coors Field. And then Philadelphia, that's a bandbox. I mean, Philadelphia and Cincinnati or two ballparks, when the ball goes up in the air, it's almost out of the ballpark.
I'd say Yankee Stadium as well. There's a couple home runs that were hit against the Padres last year.
Oh, the right center field and down the line and right.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
No, no question about it. Reminder, coming up at about 2:35, we're going to get you a preview of the Aztecs Conference opener tonight in Colorado against Colorado State from the Colorado. And we're going to have Kevin Lytle join us. But when we come back to kick off hour number two, I think you'll really, really enjoy this gentleman joining me in studio for a full hour. His name is Peter Seidler, the owner of the Padres, lead investor. He'll kick off hour number two and take it all the way to 3 o'clock today. Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.